Our role as employees of Milwaukee World Festival is to serve as stewards of Henry Meyer Festival Park, this unbelievable asset that we have here in the community. It's to produce events and attract events to the space that, you know, showcase the diversity of the city, the performing arts and the talent that we have in the city. And, you know, as part of that, also trying to provide employment opportunities.
Welcome to Creative MKE, a podcast production from Imagine MKE. I'm your host, Elizabeth Gasparka. Each episode, we feature conversations with arts leaders in Milwaukee and beyond who are impacting Milwaukee's arts, culture, and creative industries. We explore the cultural assets that make our community so special and opportunities to help Milwaukee become a more vibrant city for all. Join us as we delve into topics including the urgent need for funding for the arts in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, how arts organizations and creative entrepreneurs are fueling our economy, public art projects, and much more. Today, my guests are Kevin Kennedy and Scott Zeal of Milwaukee World Festival Incorporated, the organization that manages and hosts Summerfest, as well as a variety of festivals and other events on the grounds of Henry Meyer Park. Kevin Kennedy is Vice President of Sales and Business Development at Milwaukee World Festival. Scott Zeal is the Vice President of Entertainment for Milwaukee World Festival. Welcome, Scott and Kevin, to Creative MKE.
Hello.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
To me, summer is feeling not that far off at this point. How about for you?
Yeah, I mean, for us, this gets to be crunch time in our world and trying to secure partners and trying to identify how our partners are going to show up at Summerfest. You know, our cycle, you know, we go through a Summerfest. I would say the last couple of months, the last couple of weeks in July following a Summerfest, you know, we really go back and look at what worked, what didn't work, what can we do better. And really, you know, in our world, we start again in August, believe it or not, already starting to plan for next year. So I would say we're probably towards the latter part of the journey for planning for Summerfest 2024 and understanding what our promotions will be and who's going to be on board as far as support and how they're going to show up. But we got a great team. We're prepared. We're ready to go. And we're looking forward to you know, talking about all of the great plans we have in store for Summerfest this year.
Echoing the same thing with the music. It's the process is pretty long from, you know, we're booking, you know, entertainment coming out of the festival in 2023 for 24 with the number of stages and the number of artists that we book for the 9-day festival and the diversity with, you know, every kind of style of music that's popular. So we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's and making sure that we have something for everybody. So it's fun to see the kind of the fruits of the labor that you put into it as it evolves and as it starts to come together. So we're excited to be able to share it with the public soon.
So all of our listeners no doubt are familiar with Summerfest, but in case they're not, since 1968, Summerfest has been and continues to be an iconic institution in Milwaukee that many people, both inside and outside of this region, plan their summers around. But the landscape of the music industry has changed radically over time, as have audience desires and behaviors, and the city itself has continued to evolve over these many years. So I'd love to hear from each of you, what are some of the ways in which the organization of Milwaukee World Festival has shifted its strategic focus in recent years?
Well, you know, some things have changed and we've had to adapt like most organizations, you know, especially in the wake of the pandemic. I think for us, it's about staying true to who we are and the mission of Milwaukee World Festival. You know, our role as employees of Milwaukee World Festival is to serve as stewards of Henry Meyer Festival Park, this unbelievable asset that we have here in the community. It's to produce events and attract events to the space that, you know, showcase the diversity of the city, the performing arts and the talent that we have in the city. And, you know, as part of that, also trying to provide employment opportunities. We're even more hyper-focused now on all the ways in which we can positively impact the community through sponsorships, through promotions that we do, and also trying to make sure we maximize use of Henry Meyer Festival Park in ways that maybe we haven't before. You know, the introduction of the Northwestern Mutual Community Park, that's a space where last year that was open and available to the public for over 150 days out of the year. Years past, we didn't have a space like that that people could come and just enjoy within Henry Meyer Festival Park. And so I think that's a big change for us. I think the number of events we're doing this last year, we had over 60 events that occurred in the park. So for us, it's about what are the events we can attract to the space? What are events that we can produce ourselves? How can we continue to open Henry Meyer Festival Park to the public so people can come down and enjoy this asset? And so that's always been what our focus is. But I think if anything, we're leaning even more into those areas of our mission and trying to make sure that we continue to provide value to the community.
Very much following Kevin's lead in terms of true to the mission from the entertainment standpoint about bringing the community together to experience all different styles of music. The format of the festival changed from an 11-day event to a 10-day event now to a 9-day, 3-weekend festival, Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays. As we've evolved and changed into the prime weekend days where we found that our customers are more likely to come out on Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays instead of Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Sundays, what we're doing is we're offering more music, more national acts earlier in the day to encourage people to come to the park at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon where they can see some daytime headliners, some national acts that normally wouldn't have played early in the day, and curating more kind of theme days on the stage. So the headliner at 10 o'clock or 9:30 at night, you'll see the national acts or even the locals and the regionals all kind of working together to create a lineup that's very interesting musically. So really, as we evolve, making sure that we're an incredible value the way that it is, but that there's greater offerings for our customers now than ever before.
I want to respond to two things that you each brought up. First of all, I believe it was last spring, but I was hiking in the park across the water from Summerfest and was surprised to see that the gate was open on the south side. So I ended up walking into the grounds and stumbling upon the playground that you mentioned, Kevin, that is open 150 days of the year. It was just such a refreshing experience to be walking in this kind of chilly air of early spring and hear kids playing outside and then see families making use of the park. So that was a really delightful thing to stumble upon.
What we're really proud of is it's one of the most accessible parks. And so we worked with a lot of community stakeholders to understand how do we have to design it and develop it so it can be a place for everybody to gather, people of all abilities. And, you know, it's one of the areas we circle as, you know, a success. And as we have future development opportunities, we'll look to the success of that space. You know, how can we create a space that is, you know, functions well for all the events we already have, but also can be accessed by the public? But it's been a tremendous asset for us. You know, 2 years ago, this will be year three, we introduced our Sunday Family Fun Day event series, which are free community events where we bring in on-stage programming. We rely on a lot of community arts groups to come and be a part of that. Food trucks, a lot of hands-on activities representative of a lot of museums and other organizations in the community. And so beyond just keeping it open as much as we can, we're trying to find ways to convene families and the public together to be able to utilize the space as well. So we're really proud of it, obviously, as you can tell, and hopefully we'll, you know, as we look to the future, be able to develop areas like, you know, with similar uses in the future.
Yeah, we have such an incredible breadth and depth of talented, wonderful arts organizations in our community. So any chance to have them showcase their talents and interact with the community is wonderful. And I wanted to respond to something you said, Scott. So you are obviously trying to be nimble in the way you're presenting musical acts of different genres. And I will say my favorite concert from last summer was a very small, intimate pop-up concert of Jenny Lewis. And, you know, as an audience member, it was such a neat experience. We had to get in line, and I think the first 200 people would make it in. So it was kind of this anticipatory excitement. And then we got into the space, and we were just 15 feet away from one of the best artists in indie rock right now. So that was a thrill.
Yeah, I think you're referring to the AmFam House, American Family Insurance, who's the title sponsor of Summerfest, and the amphitheater. I'm going to ask Kevin, has it been 5 or 6 years now since they built the house?
That's right.
Yeah. So if you walk in the main gate, American Family Insurance builds this beautiful two-story performance space where they do a lot of kind of fun interactive demos. You can take pictures, get an AmFam pack. And then the performance space is beautifully done, holds, you know, 125 people, I think, probably with the overflow. So this is an opportunity to see an artist who's performing like their full electric set on a bigger stage at night in a more intimate setting. The format is generally the artist is kind of playing a little bit more stripped down. There's a question and answer portion to it. So it's a super cool way to see somebody like Jenny Lewis and hear her talk more than you're going to hear in other spaces. So we're super proud of that. And every year it'll just be a great space for us to use.
I think the word is out about that concert series. But yeah, it was such a pleasant surprise because, of course, the sort of signature Summerfest experience, you wouldn't describe as intimate per se, but this really truly was. And hearing from her with actually a local MC, Christopher Gilbert, was on the stage with her asking questions. So it was just a really heartwarming and special experience. So Kevin, you were mentioning how the mission of Summerfest is in part to really leverage the wonderful Henri Maier Festival Park. But I'm wondering if you can speak to ways in which the organization has extended its footprint beyond the park into the broader Milwaukee community.
Yeah, I think what we're as focused on is how do we leverage what happens within the borders of the park to extend our reach and impact beyond the borders of the park. And so I think, you know, you look at our admission promotions as an example. You know, part of our mission is to keep the festival affordable and accessible so everybody has a chance to come. It's still one of the most inexpensive music festivals of our scale you can go to. And every day there's an opportunity to come in and enjoy all that we have to offer for free. And on some of those days, we ask the community to help us impact a nonprofit organization by making a donation. So last year alone, through our admission promotions, we collected 27,000 pounds of food that was donated back to Hunger Task Force, close to 4,000 books, children's books that went back to Next Door for children's literacy initiatives back in the community, about $18,000 worth of hygiene supplies that went to United Way and the Mary Lou's Closet Initiative, which puts hygiene supplies back into schools in Milwaukee and Waukesha counties for kids that maybe don't have access. Beyond that, you know, we through concepts and ideas that our sponsors generate or we generate in partnership with sponsors, we collected and donated about $250,000 back into the community last year. That, you know, a couple of highlights there: American Family Insurance and the Let the Music Play grants. Those are grants that go back into schools to support music-focused programming. BMO and Power has a program that's been going on now for several years that supports minority-owned businesses. And so they make it possible for a lot of those businesses to show up and activate at Summerfest to exhibit and vend. And Generac last year introduced a program called Power Up with a Purpose, in which they sold some of their front row passes, which are not available for sale, but they sold some in exchange for a donation, which went to the American Red Cross and allowed the Red Cross to be able to purchase a blood services vehicle. And so for us, it's how do we look at what we're doing on the grounds, whether it's Summerfest or the Sunday Family Fun Day events or the community park, as an example. We've got a book bin in the park where people can come down and just bring books and offload their gently used books and library they've generated to go back to Next Door. So for us, it's how do we get really thoughtful in all the ways in which we can positively impact the community. And in some ways, that can also be performance opportunities. So the more, you know, we talked about the Sunday Family Fun Day event series as an example, and how can we continue to create more of those and invitations then as a result to community arts groups and artists to be a part of those events. And I'd say, you know, beyond that, Summerfest Tech is a good example of an event we've created that is reaching beyond certainly the borders of our event. And that started in 2018. It was a small private event with 50 people, stakeholders in the community that were all efforting towards Milwaukee being this Midwest tech hub. And it started as a discussion, and now 6 years later, the event has grown to over 2,000 people. It's both virtual and in person. We have a lot of great content this year. It's going to be at Pottawatomie as well as at Summerfest, 4 days. But it covers on all things tech and IT, but it also really focuses on all the great things that organizations in Milwaukee are doing to continue to elevate our profile. It talks about all the great resources available here for entrepreneurs and startups so that you don't feel you have to go to Austin or you've got to go to one of the coasts to have success. And last year, we actually decided to take Summerfest Tech on the road, and we went down to Austin to be a part of South by Southwest. So we sponsored a venue down there called the Midwest House, which is a venue where, you know, as people come from all over the world to South by Southwest, it's a little hub that people like us from the Midwest can go back to see people that we know. And, you know, as part of that, we were able to conduct a panel. And then that led to the city pitch competition where the mayor actually came down with us as well, too, and was able to pitch why Milwaukee is a great place to be, why it's a great place to invest, why it's a great place to grow and maintain a business. And so fast forward now to this year, we're going to be going back to South by Southwest. We've taken Summerfest Tech on the road to the NBA All-Star Game, and we're going to be attending a tech event as part of the NFL Draft coming up here in Detroit and bringing a panel up there to talk about kind of this intersection of sports and music and tech. So that's an event that we developed because we wanted to just be a voice and a launching pad for what other people were already doing in the community. And now in 6 short years has really led to us to start to expand beyond the Midwest. And so it's a combination of trying to do more events and having community impact and finding opportunities like Summerfest Tech where we can highlight the great work being done by others here in the community.
Can you highlight how Summerfest, just give some examples of how Summerfest fuels Milwaukee's creative economy specifically? In what ways does it support Milwaukee's talent and people who are working in the tech industry and entrepreneurs?
I would say, you know, you think about Summerfest being the landmark summer events and having, you know, 75 acres, a 23,000 person amphitheater, 7 stages, programming all the music and having a national reputation for being a great festival. Hopefully we're helping entrepreneurs, companies on all different levels to retain talent that is maybe starts in the city, has other opportunities to move to different cities, but decides that, you know, Milwaukee is at kind of that perfect time in terms of the growth where you have all of the great attributes of the lakefront and the culture and music and, you know, food, but a lot less of the headaches and, you know, less of the, it's a very reasonably priced city to stay in. So, I mean, I think that we contribute to people moving to the city as well because of what we're doing. And then the other thing is just, you know, we're out in the community. Milwaukee, as long as I've lived here, has always had a reputation for being a not only a creative city, but a city that encourages growth. It's not like a cutthroat city in terms of, you know, musicians trying to outdo each other. Milwaukee is very good that way. And I hear that from so many people. So we're always looking for, from year to year, we're looking for that next creative voice, that, you know, someone who's writing brilliant songs that has a lot to say, that's creating excitement when they're performing at clubs and other events throughout the course of the year. Those are the acts that we want to give exposure to. We want to put them on big stages so that they can, you know, perform in front of new faces and eyeballs and ears. So we're really supporting artists and entrepreneurs to be a part of the festival, and we're excited to be a part of that discovery process.
And I think if I could add, I think, you know, one really good example was, again, going back to the Sunday Family Fun Day events. Last year, we decided to theme a couple of them. One was a STEM theme, and the other one, we decided to theme performing arts. And We're like, who can help us to gather a bunch of these performing arts groups? And so we just reached out to UPath and we said, hey, we want to theme this event all around the arts. The event was in September, which is the beginning of the art season. And so we're like, let's create a live art season preview for the community to come down and see all the great arts and artists and, you know, entertainment that we have. And so jumped on a call with UPath and we invited, you know, all members and affiliates to say, hey, we have enough stage time. There's enough exhibit space, come down and be a part of it. And we had great participation. And, you know, we probably had 8 or 9 groups on stage doing performances, giving previews of what their art season, you know, which was just beginning, had in store. And then a lot of the groups came and had a table and exhibited and shared with families, here's our season, here's opportunities for your kids to get involved. And so it's music, it's performing arts. But then if you really get granular, I mean, there's agencies we work with on creative elements. There's t-shirt design, there's poster design, there's roaming entertainers, I mean, jugglers and face painters. And so if you really start to, you know, get granular about, you know, the number of people that make Summerfest happen, you know, it takes hundreds and hundreds of people that I would classify as artists. And then you get into sound and lights and all these people. I mean, I've met enough of them to know that these people are artists as well too, and very talented at what they do. So it's really an event that takes a community of artists to come together to create a really great experience.
Beautiful. Why do you think Milwaukee is a city of festivals? In other words, why has festival culture flourished here?
Without a doubt, Henry Meyer, the mayor who started Summerfest between 67 and 68. I mean, taking the model of what was taking place in Oktoberfest in Munich, Germany, you know, looking at ways to bring the community together. When the festival started out, it was multiple locations. Eventually, the lakefront became, for obvious reasons, a place that is beautiful and had a lot of potential for growth. So I think starting the festival and, again, using it as a way to bring people together, then the support of all of our citizens, all of our corporate partners, people who have helped build the site into something that is permanent. It's very vast. You know, we go around to other music festivals. There are so many great events around the country, but half or more of them are built on a temporary site. So, you know, the infrastructure that is at the park is just something that we kind of take for granted, but it's, you know, it's clean, the bathrooms, the restaurants, all the stages, everything has allowed for not only Summerfest to flourish, but then all the ethnic festivals that happen during and coming out of COVID. There was a $53 million remodeling of the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. That improvement allowed for us as a concert venue that had started, I think it was built in 1987, to be put back on the map in terms of one of the most cutting edge facilities out there, to continue to build our reputation. So all of these elements have just happened over time. And I mean, we have so many people that grew up in Milwaukee, musicians that get their start performing at Summerfest. We have so many people who work in the entertainment business as stage managers, as, you know, different support people to make sure that the performances at Summerfest go off without a hitch, that eventually go on tour with all these big artists. So we've been fortunate to be a launch pad for so many that start here because we are the city of festivals.
I think we're just a community that likes to celebrate summer. And I think we like to celebrate the cultures that make us all unique. And I think winters have a lot to do with it. You know, we go through winter and we're stuck inside and, you know, we're not as social as maybe, you know, we want to be. And then summer hits and we want to be outside. We want to be around people. And I think the other part of it, to like Scott said, is, you know, there's a talented group of people that have put together a really amazing calendar of events. And we've, you know, obviously we know Summerfest, but the ethnic and cultural festivals that happen here are top-notch events. I mean, we've got Pride Fest, which is the largest pride event in the Midwest. We've got Irish Fest, which is the largest Irish cultural celebration outside of Ireland. Mexican Fiesta just celebrating 50 years. And all of them, German, Polish, Black Arts, Festa coming back to the grounds. I mean, these are all events that You know, might have a little bit of common experience because of where they're held at Henry Meyer Festival Park, but each one has its own unique experience. And you know, if you could literally go to one each weekend and get a little bit of a different experience, and they're all a lot of fun. So I think it's a combination of the amazing events that have been developed already by a group of really talented people, and it's just the fact that after winter, we just want to be out. We want to be on the lakefront, and we want to be together. You know, the last part of it's Henry Meyer Festival Park. It's an unbelievable community asset that I'm not sure a lot of people realize. And we're fortunate enough to get to talk to a lot of people that come from other cities. And you know, people in the tourism industry and these agents from the coast that when they show up are like, I can't believe you guys have access to this and you have all of these events. You don't know how lucky you are. And truly, we are.
So this year's Summerfest will take place over three consecutive weekends, Thursdays through Saturdays, noon to midnight. The dates are June 20th through 22nd, June 27th through 29th, and July 4th through 6th. What can Milwaukeeans and visitors expect in just a few words from Summerfest 2024?
I think, you know, Scott and team continue to put together a world-class lineup. I think we're focused on, you know, how can we elevate the non-music based entertainment. I like to consider our food and beverage program like a taste of Milwaukee because, you know, it's several of our restaurants in the community, you know, have a presence, more ways to get in free, more fun, and just more togetherness with the community. So it's a culmination of a lot of work that our team's been putting on going back to last July. And I think it's, you know, I think we're carrying forth a lot of really positive momentum from Summerfest 2023.
And we continue to expand the, you know, our musical offerings. I mean, following all the trends of, you know, new music that's out and available. You know, you see, I think just with social media and streaming, you know, some artists that really, you know, are sending the right message, writing the right songs, have the right voice, go from, you know, being, you know, very small to being really big really quickly. You know, last year we had an artist by the name of Noah Khan who we booked very early in the festival, and he exploded and had a huge crowd on one of our free stages. So we continue to, you know, we take a lot of pride in finding the newest, best, hottest artists that we can present and all the different styles of music that everybody is gravitating to.
So where can folks learn more and engage with up-to-the-moment updates and announcements?
I would head to summerfest.com. All of the information you're going to need is going to be there. We just actually relaunched the site with a whole new look, so hopefully it's more user-friendly and easier to navigate. But everything you need is there, whether it's the lineup, the promotions and activities, job opportunities. You know, we are in the midst of hiring for our seasonal positions. We'll bring on, you know, over 2,000 positions to be able to handle all of the events that we're going to do this year. And so there's information on jobs that are open and other events that we're going to be doing throughout the season there as well, too. And so anything you need, summerfest.com.
Can't wait for summer. Well, thank you so much, Scott and Kevin, for your time today. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, like, subscribe, or leave a rating and review. Follow Imagine MKE on socials to hear and see more Milwaukee arts stories, learn about arts events and opportunities, and to receive arts advocacy news and alerts. To get involved or learn more about the work of Imagine MKE, visit us on the web. Creative MKE is produced and edited by me, Elizabeth Gasparka, with support from Adam Bratz. The season's episodes were recorded in downtown Milwaukee and in Washington Heights with support from the good folks at PodCamp Media and the Washington Park Media Center. Our show's music is by Bobby Drake. Additional audio support provided by Think Tank and Silver City Studios. Thank you to WUWM for the opportunity to broadcast Creative MKE on the radio. And thanks to the Shepherd Express for their ongoing partnership. For more than 40 years, Shepherd Express has proudly advocated for arts and culture in the Milwaukee area. You can hear more podcasts like this one at shepherdexpress.com.